O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Turn, O Lord, deliver my life.
Save for me the sake of your steadfast love.
O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger,
nor discipline me in your wrath.
Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing.
Hear me, O Lord.
My soul also is greatly troubled.
But you, O Lord, help.
Turn, O Lord, deliver my life.
Save me for the sake of your steadfast love.
For in death there is no remembrance of you.
In Sheol,
I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears.
I drench my couch with my weeping.
My eye wastes away because of grief.
It grows weak because of all my foes.
Depart from me, all you workers of evil. The Lord has heard my plea.
The Lord accepts my prayers.
All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled.
They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Turn, O Lord, deliver my life.
Save me for the sake of your steadfast love.
from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment. She poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. From that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written in him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise.
join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again this Lenten season, in our five midweek Lenten Vesper services, we hear St. Matthew's account of Jesus' passion. You may know that more than any other gospel account, St. Matthew's account seems to emphasize how Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah are fulfilled by the New Testament ministry and passion of Jesus the Christ, our Savior. So we should not be surprised to find an arguable example of prophecies being fulfilled in each of the five location portions of the Passion that we hear over these 5 weeks. Although you may be surprised by some of the details of the prophecy and its fulfillment. Of course, in the end, each prophecy and its fulfillment reiterate for us God's will and work in order to save us sinners who are sorry for our sins and trust God to forgive us by grace for Jesus' sake. Tonight, we consider how in the upper room, Jesus seems to speak about his, in some sense, actively fulfilling Psalm 41, verse 9. As we heard in the reading, Jesus said that the one who had dipped his hand in the dish with him would betray him. Jesus' reference, apparently, is to dipping a morsel of bread in the bowl of bitter herbs, fruit, nuts, ginger or cinnamon, and wine or vinegar. That was part of the Passover meal, which bitter herbs first recalled the haste with which the Passover meal was prepared, and later reminded the Jews of their bitter treatment as slaves in Egypt. Then, as we heard in the reading, Jesus said that he is going as it is written of him, written once in the past and still presently standing written, presumably in the Holy Scriptures of the Old Testament, written in this case, although not all Bible commentators agree, apparently by the psalmist David, who said that even his close friend, in whom he had trusted, who ate his bread, had lifted up his heel against him. That is, had thrust with the heel, giving a good swing of the foot or a great kick, even if a figurative great kick. That psalm verse apparently refers to David's trusted advisor, Ahithophel, who joined David's son Absalom in his rebellion against David. And when Ahithophel's advice was not taken, who ended his life by hanging himself. That psalm verse's reference to Ahithophel turning on David prophesies of Judas's betraying Jesus. And as we heard in the reading, Jesus essentially speaks of his and Judas's fulfilling that prophecy. Jesus pronounced a woe upon that betrayer, in the process emphasizing the figurative distance between them. And Jesus said that the betrayer's not having been born would have been better than his experiencing eternal damnation. There is no fatalistic, so-called Calvinistic or Reformed double predestination here, especially as the Holy Spirit had at least at one time enabled Judas to be sorry for his sin and to trust God to forgive his sin for Jesus' sake. Judas was so free both to not betray Jesus and to repent of his betrayal and so be forgiven. But Judas did betray Jesus and did not repent and so was not forgiven. We should hear Jesus' woe upon Judas as a general statement of judgment upon all betrayal and apostasy, including our own betrayal and apostasy. While we, before our conversion, by nature are not free to not sin and to repent, the Holy Spirit enables us to repent, and so to be forgiven, and then to do God-pleasing good works. And yet afterwards, we still sin. And so to avoid the eternal damnation that we otherwise deserve, we live in sorrow over our sin and with trust in God to forgive our sin for Jesus' sake. As we heard in the reading, Jesus says that he is going as it is written of him. Jesus had come, was there, and continued to go do all that God had prophesied. Not like a to-do list that had to be checked off simply because God, through the prophets, had foretold that it would happen, but rather, God, through the prophets, had foretold it would happen because it flowed out of his eternal plan to save sinners. God in human flesh, Jesus had a perfectly free will that was perfectly aligned with the Father's loving will to save us. And so Jesus freely went all the way to the cross in order to die for us, the death that we otherwise deserve as our substitute. Tonight's arguable example of prophecy fulfilled is the only one of the five examples where Jesus is actively doing something, in this case, going. Perhaps because the betrayal was still in the future, as Jesus spoke the words in the reading, Jesus did not yet explicitly describe the prophecy of his betrayal as completely fulfilled. But it was completely fulfilled soon enough, as were all the other prophecies about the Messiah, the Christ, our Savior, including his resurrection from the dead. So when we are sorry for our sins and trust God to forgive us for Jesus' sake, then God does just that. He forgives our sinful nature and all our actual sins, whatever our actual sins might be. God forgives us through his word and sacraments. Tonight's arguable example of prophecy fulfilled is also the only one of the five examples and the only place in St. Matthew's gospel account where something is described as being done as it is written. But whether the expression is for it is written or as it is written or that something might be fulfilled, there is no essential difference in the various expressions use of and regard for Holy Scripture, verbally inspired by God through human writers. That same word has authority, clarity, saving power, and sufficiency, as it is both read and preached to groups such as this group, and as it is applied to individuals with water in holy baptism, with a pastor's touch in holy absolution, and with bread and wine that are Christ's body and blood in the Holy Supper. We who repent and confess the same faith receive all of these means of grace for the forgiveness of sins, and so also for life and salvation. Mindful of the close relationship between the fellowship meal and Judas's betrayal, we practice closed communion, both for the integrity of our proclamation of Jesus' death and in order to protect those who might not discern the sacramental and ecclesial bodies of Christ from communing unworthily, as apparently Judas communed unworthily. Not that his example is a valid argument against trying to practice closed communion. Forgiven by God through his word and sacraments, we are transformed. And we also go, in some sense, as it is written of us. We try to do good works of God's commandments in keeping with our various callings in life, our vocational relationships, both to God and to one another. First, with our parents, spouse, children, and extended families, and then with others in our church community, and finally at school or work, and in society as a whole. In the process, we may suffer betrayal, as David and Jesus did. And if we do suffer betrayal, then we pray for and forgive our enemies of their sin against us, even if we do not ever trust the betrayers the same way again. To be sure, with daily contrition and faith, we live in God's forgiveness of sins for our betrayals and occasional unbelief. Tonight we have considered St. Matthew's account of Jesus' passions, fulfilling specifically the prophecy of Psalm 41, verse 9. Other examples will come in turn the next 4 weeks. As Jesus generalized elsewhere, what is written in the scriptures that must be fulfilled is both that he should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. So repentance and forgiveness has been proclaimed to us. May God use us likewise to proclaim to others. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let my prayer rise before you as incense. Spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed. Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. Has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with
and to his seed forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
And lifting up of my hands as a living sacrifice.
You may be seated on it.
Nativity,
by
your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment, we poor sinners implore you to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived. To beat down Satan under our feet, to
to send faithful laborers into your harvest and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit. To raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed. To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need. To direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people. To watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel. To grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them. To strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all. To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. O Christ, O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Amen. Our salvation for the glory of your name. Deliver us and purge away our sins for your name's sake. Almighty and everlasting God, since you govern and sanctify the whole Christian church by your Holy Spirit,
Hear our prayers for all its members. Mercifully grant that by your grace we may serve you in the true faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
So we'll look forward to that. Any other announcements?